now.
11LRNI.
Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show. Here comes LF Network.
Bottom end in that one. Anyway, welcome to the Midwood Files. Blah 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 blah. You know, it's not been a good week. I could definitely say it's not been a good week. 45 minutes ago, I'll have you know that 45 minutes ago, I accidentally deleted the entire video archive to date. Yes, everything I've ever done on video that was on the website that was linked in the video archive is now gone. Because what I do is I access that computer over there from the bedroom over FTP. And I deleted, normally I drop my show folder in there because that's how I move the show folder. So I can move whatever tracks I'm using for the night in to this machine, the quote unquote broadcast machine. So I accidentally deleted the folder. It said archives on it and I went, gone, history. Not to be retrieved, over with, finished. So we'll be building the video archive going forward, and the audio archive actually is easy enough to rebuild because the vast majority of those programs, if not all of them, are over at John Lightning server, so I'll just move those over here, and there'll be audio available for all of the previous shows. I don't even think I was doing video for the first 6-8 months, something like that. But all video archives will have to be rebuilt. So I did that, and I skipped way too many doses of a psych med this week because I couldn't get my fingers on it. And that felt great. And let's see. You know, things are so bad, I actually I actually put my St. Jude medal back on, you know what I mean? Because I can use a little fucking help, quite frankly. And I feel crappy. And I probably wouldn't even be here except for, like, I guess I feel like... I feel obligated. I'm like in some sort of I step outside myself kind of thing, you know, in like some sort of third person type thing. And I'm like, well, you gotta, you know, no matter how you feel, you gotta take one for the team. So I take one for the team, and there, it's true. I think if I stop again, I won't be coming back. So I think it's important just to soldier on through. And, you know, the prevailing theory is I don't take Ambien all the time. I have a prescription for Ambien for 10 milligrams, which is like the highest dose Ambien, I guess, from what I was told. I say I guess a lot, and that's what that means is that by my estimation, that's what that means, in case everybody's wondering. So, which means literally means I guess. So I took an Ambien last night, which I don't normally do. I actually took it with... I took it with a Flexeril, which is a muscle relaxant, and I took it with 5 milligrams of clonidine. And I had been drinking prior. So I slept pretty well. I went to sleep, and the next thing you know, it's like 7:30, you know? So I slept pretty well, and I went downstairs and I had dinner. And I've been kind of foggy, but I had dinner, and dinner was shepherd's pie. Actually, it was cottage pie because it was ground beef, and which had tomato paste in it. It was delicious. It was wonderful. But it had tomato paste in it. And then I used, I had some Cabernet. The fine Sauvignon. Cabernet Sauvignon. Sauvignon. It's like the only red wine I like. And I got heartburn. I've had heartburn for like hours now. And I've been kind of like, I don't know if I've been like kind of wonky. I guess, you know, for a guy who spends most of his life wonky, you know, these things are by degrees. You know, it's like, again, they come in and they're like, well, how depressed are you on the scale of 1 to 10? And I'm like, you know, my general standard reaction there, right? So it's kind of like the same thing with the wonkiness, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of wonky, I guess. And then the Ambien adds like a whole different layer of, I'm wearing my splint. I don't know if any of you have ever seen my splint. For those of you, keep it out of the way of the lighting, who are interested in what the splint looks like. It's some sort of, I don't know exactly what this material is, but it's literally formed. It was made custom for my wrist, for wrist support, and it's Velcro. You can see that's black Velcro holding it in place. The reason I have it on is because I figure I got to give it a real good run, not using it and keeping it in the proper position before I go in to the doctor, because I know I'm going to require, if I don't get it right, it's probably going to require surgery. So I'm hoping I can reset it, because wrist surgery would be the last thing that I need right now. Quite frankly, it would be the last thing. Although, well, maybe one or two other things that I would want to be last, but wrist surgery is definitely amongst them. So I feel pretty fucking crappy. I mean, there's just no, here I am complaining about my shitty life again. It's definitely a beard now. It's definitely a beard. I'm considering names. And I'm considering naming it Fidel, in order, you know, in honor of the only good communist that I've ever met is dead. So I figured I'd name it after him. Or no, what was it? No, I think I got that backwards. I think the only good communist is a dead communist. That's what it is. Ah. So anyway, but I think I did read a little. I have been paying attention to the news, and just in an overall kind of way. So I do have some stuff that I actually want to talk about. Probably two things that are like tremendously related to one another. And I'd like to preface this by saying that I do know Democrats that are not liberal. I know actually two that I can speak of, and one that's just really kind of strange, so it's difficult to explain. So I know three reasonable people who would identify and vote Democrat, or reasonable for the most part, at least two of them. So I need to preface that. It's difficult as we get closer to November and the midterms, discriminating. No, that's not. I always discriminate against Democrats. Disseminating, is that the word? I really need help. It's an ambient thing, you know, and it's really funny. It's so funny. This is the irony. I was watching South Park last night, and it was Mr. Howdy, you know, the little poo dude. He was taking Ambien, and he was going on, and he was like doing like mean tweets and such. In the town, after like four or five of them, the town finally asked him to leave, and it was obviously a parody of the situation with Roseanne and her what she put forth as her excuse for the mean tweets. Or at least that one mean tweet in regards to what's her name from Sarah from Planet of the Apes. So I watched that last night, and then I was like, you know, and maybe on some, because I don't take the Ambien very often, so maybe on some sort of subconscious level, maybe that's, I don't know what it was, but I think I was just kind of jacked up and to a certain degree, because my sleep cycle's been really kind of like utterly messed up. It's been like very strange. Let's just put it that way. Very, very, very strange. So. Maybe it was the Ambien. That's why I deleted the files. That seems to be... Did I mention that already? That seems to be... Whoops. That seems to be the prevailing theory. I think I did say that, because prevailing theory sounds familiar to me. So anyway, I think I moved on. But no, it was on South Park. And I didn't watch the Conners. Neither the producer and I watched the Conners, which was, I guess, the second season of Roseanne minus Roseanne. I hear it didn't do well in the ratings. I will say that the producer apparently accurately predicted that they were going to knock off the Roseanne character via opiate overdose, which they did. And you know what? I love John Goodman. I think he's hilarious. I think John Goodman and Laurie Metcalf in a room just staring at each other is enough to make me laugh for 22 minutes or whatever it is, minus commercials. But I can't do it. In my heart of hearts, as they say, I think Roseanne got, I think she got railroaded. I think, and I think I talked about this at the time. I think it was utterly ridiculous because not for nothing, who knew that that woman was black? I mean, she didn't look that black to me, you know? So, anyway, if they can't take a joke, fuck them. That's what I say. Fuck them if they can't take a joke. So she'll be back. She'll, she always bounces back. She's still a commodity in, at least, half of America. Half of America that's not insane. So, again, I want to preface, just to go back, I know we jump around a lot. I know Democrats that are, you know, they're, like, not crazy. They're not, they're reasonable people. Meaning they haven't signed on board for a lot of this pussy hat, Antifa, let's suppress free speech of people that we don't like via violent means if necessary, and preferably, apparently. So other traditional issues they may stand pat on, you know. They're not pro-life in the sense of, they believe in a woman's right to choose, which is great. I believe in a woman's right not to get pregnant to begin with, not for nothing. My view on the abortion issue does not come from a religious imperative. It comes from I think any society that's willing to kill its young at the rate that we do needs to examine itself. Yes, I believe that life begins at conception, therefore abortion literally is murder. It is not just a clump of cells. Yada, yada, yada. I know I've talked about that. Ad nauseum. I know I'm not a woman, so I may not be... I may not be qualified, although I am a bit of a Nancy boy, at least when it comes to my my shave products. Somebody was breaking my nuts about that last night. But it's true. It's 100% true. I am comfortable with my sexuality in that regard. So when we start looking at things like this caravan that is slowly making its way, I believe that it was at the gates of hell. No, I mean Mexico. Mexahell. Interesting. At the gates of Mexico, earlier today, I believe their strategy has been to put pregnant women and children in front so that as they go along, they're less likely to be forcibly accosted. which is what they should be. You know, it's really interesting. There had to be like, I don't know how many of them, but there was like a couple of thousand of them, without a doubt. And you have to kind of wonder, where's the money for something like that come from? I mean, a march from, I think it's one of those Guatemala countries, Guatemala, Guatawawa, I don't know, one of those places. It costs its beans, costs some bread. You got to feed these people, and you got to give them water, and they need the, I guess, some sort of temporary, if not less than temporary, housing as they go along. I mean, I would presume it to be a reasonably expensive endeavor. Where could money like that possibly come from, George Soros? Where could money? No clue, George Soros. I couldn't have any idea where money like that would come from. No idea where these people who are apparently indigent and poverty stricken have enough money to get from to even just the gates of Mexico. And now, what happened at the gates of Mexico was they initially didn't open the gates, and then at some point I believe they did wind up opening the gates for what were purported to be women and children, and they were the pregnant women again, I guess. But women and children, and so some of these refugees were allowed into Mexico. And it was really interesting because all the shots that I saw, there was this bridge, you know, which is really kind of interesting that it takes there's this bridge that is the border from Guatemala to Mexico, and just say Guatemala, and Mexico. So it's really kind of cool from a defensive standpoint, you know, whereas they have to go over this bridge in order to get to this gate, in order to get into Mexico. Now, there's a river there. And, you know, it's classically funny. I've always found it somewhat amusing. You know, the old wetbacks, or what are referred to as wetbacks, which would have been, I guess that's an antiquated term for Mexicans coming over the border from Mexico to the United States via the Rio Grande. I believe it was a popular term in the 50s, and I believe there was even an Operation Wetback, which I believe was devised in order to get Mexicos. We were actually welcoming Mexicos into this country during World War II. Mexicos, Mexicans. I really am craving a taco. From Mexico to the United States. During World War II, I think I said that, to do jobs, to fill in jobs and various other low-level things that needed to be done, which is why some states, even in the Midwest, like, say, somewhere like Mexico, has a very old and a very strong Mexican population, which is interesting, right? So that was called the Operation Wetback. So, but the thing of it, why I started talking about these rivers is why it's cool that there's this bridge, and it is quite defensible from, like, a defense situation where, I mean, if you had like an onslaught, because there's like gates and stuff. There's gates, and then there's this, like, they looked like barbed wire spikes. It wasn't even like, you know, that Constantine wire, I think they call it. It was literally spikes that were barbed wired, which was kind of cool, and some of these people were trying to get over them. But the river itself, you know, because people were jumping into the river and crossing the river, the river itself, and I don't know what river it is. I know that the Rio Grande, arguably, it was the border between Mexico and the United States. I don't know. I don't know what river it was between Guadalajara and Mexico, but it looked pretty calm. But you see, the thing about these rivers is, because even the Rio Grande in certain places, you know, it looks, you know, like relatively wadeable, I guess would be the term, right? But the thing of it is that within like almost like a moment's notice, depending upon what the rain situation is, these things can the currents on these the El Dorado, it's not the El Dorado. What is it? I just said it. The currents on that particular river, meaning the river that is between the United States and Mexico. Can become very strong. And it's been known to literally just wash people away. I mean, people who were crossing just washed them away. But the river that I saw today, and I don't know what that was. Maybe I could have looked it up if I were vastly interested, but I'm not. Didn't seem to be so. So I'm having to wonder how many people are getting in via that. I mean, obviously, I would suspect they said there was like 1,000 Mexicalis there. The Rio Grande, that was what it was. The Rio Grande River at times. Between Mexico and the United States also looks extremely wadeable, but that can change at a moment's notice. That can go like whoop, and then all of a sudden there's a lot of floating Mexicans downstream, a lot of floating piñatas downstream. So it was interesting to see that today. And, you know, I wound up sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm like, it's, and I'm saying to myself, it's so important in regards to how Mexico deals with this issue, because this is obviously an issue for Mexico as well, too. I'm sure, as was evident by the fact that they slammed those gates shut, I'm sure that Mexico doesn't want to pick up any more citizens or any more refugees. You know, they claim refugee status, which is really kind of interesting. But I'm sure Mexico, just like ourselves, obviously doesn't want to pick any more. They don't want to set precedent. And that's what this is all about, because I think if we don't figure out what we're going to do, and this is now the United States, because this caravan is I guess it's been kind of, I don't know if stopped would be the word. It's been halted. There's a speed bump. But we have to see what Mexico's going to do in the longer run, because I think it's quite evident. History has shown that once a precedent is set, when people realize that they can get away with something, which is the way I view it, there'll be more and more caravans, and they'll be bigger and bigger. And Mexico doesn't want to have to deal with that shit on a weekly or a monthly or whatever the situation is. You know, the claim is that these people want to get into the United States before immigration policy changes. But has anybody significantly seen immigration policy change other than the non-separation of these illegal invaders get to keep their kids? Has anybody seen any? Is there something happening that I missed? Because, you know, it's been known to happen. I don't take Ambien every now and then, but when I do, you know, I might have missed something in the last 24 or so. You know, and obviously how we deal with it when whatever is left of this caravan, hopefully steam will be, you know, there'll be less steam whenever is left of this caravan reaches the Mexican U.S. border. What's going to happen? I think last time they were mostly deflected. They were pushed off. You know, it's funny. I used the term illegal invader, and I can't help but think of Rufus, you know, who was a regular call to JL's show for years and years and years, and talking about the illegal invaders. And I tell you, and I know I've said this before, I have to give the guy credit, because and he used to talk about Tom Tancredo a lot, who I believe is a senator from Colorado, if I'm correct, or at least was. I'm not even sure he still is. But this is, I remember Tancredo was talking about bombing Mecca, which I thought was really interesting at the time. yeah, that'll solve one problem, but it'll finally open up a whole lot of can of worms. But the idea of someone talking about, because I know Rufus was from the New York City area, I always thought it was kind of abstract. I always thought it was racist, first of all. I'll say it outright. 100% viewed it as racist. And this is when I was a liberal. And I thought it was kind of abstract, you know? It didn't... this is so far away that what's this got to do with me, you know? And I got to honestly say again, and I know I've said this before, you know, my regulars are relatively acquainted with the fact that it was immigration, and it particularly it was illegal immigration that was my gateway into right-wing politics. You know, and I started out as a conservative, and then I moved a little farther to the right, and then I moved a little farther to the right, and now I guess I'm alt-right still. If there still is an alt-right movement, I don't know. These terms, movements, and they get kind of weird, you know. I think I go back to Captain Spaulding, and I wouldn't want to, or I guess it was Groucho, Captain Spaulding. I wouldn't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member. I started to get a little uncomfortable, you know. But no, it's, you know, I look at it, and I guess the alt-right's still a movement. Like I said, from the standpoint of that, it's a lot of different individuals who are like-minded. It's not organized like the Tea Party. Was organized, so you could arguably say that, you know, some of the Tea Party folks wound up morphing into something else. I was having a conversation with Hank Hayes, I guess it had to be a couple few weeks ago, and we were talking about how if you take a, you know, a libertarian right person, and you piss them off enough, they wind up being alt-right, which is true. I think up on my Instagram, I think there's a little, I don't know if it's Garrison or not, but I have that little, pretty much a little cartoon that shows that, just, you know, a little drawing cartoon that shows that pretty much that same thing, where they're going in a pipe and they're boop, coming out the other end is alt-right, which is actually pretty cool. I think Americans are tired of the idea of having to solve someone else's problem, whether it be Mexico or whether it be Guatemala. I think in the long run, we may not be doing either of these countries any good by allowing them to come here, because all we're doing is taking the pressure off the negative aspects of what's occurring in their homelands. Obviously, the cartels are a problem in Mexico, and obviously, I don't know if they call them cartels in Guatemala. I don't know what they call them. I have no clue. But my point is that whether it be government or whether it be government inaction in regards to what's going on with this drug violence, all we're doing is we're creating a safety valve. We're literally setting up a situation so that when the cartels have gotten so horrendous, people leave and they come here, and that allows the cartel violence to continue, because it takes pressure. Because the only way a situation changes is if there's consistent pressure on it. You know, the same concept behind a pressure cooker. It builds, and if you don't open it, it explodes. And what we need, what they need, and I guess what we need to some degree as well too, but we need for them, maybe that would be the best way for me to put it, we need for them to explode. We need both those countries to get to the point where they're just no longer willing to deal with what is going on, and that they engage in a revolution, as long as it's not a communist revolution, by the way, but a revolution that changes the future of their countries and restores their great culture to them and restores their great pride to them, because they run around with their little flags. And even coming in, I noticed on the bridge there were Guatemalan flags, and it was like, oh well. And it's like, you know, and it's like, if you're that proud of your country, then why the fuck don't you stay there? Oh, it's broken? Oh, so why don't you participate in fixing it rather than abandoning it? You know, you have to ask yourself, if there was some sort of great thing that had occurred in the United States, how many Americans would head over to Canada waving American flags? Not many, I don't think, depending upon what the nature of the thing were. But yeah, it's up to Mexico and it's up to Guatemala to solve their own problems. And all we're doing is just making it easier for them not to solve their problems. We're making it easier for them to eject, you know. And it's certainly not helping our economy. You know, our economy is doing pretty good right now, but it's never traditionally helped our economy. These people are unskilled. They're uneducated to a large degree. It's exactly the same situation that's occurring in Europe. In the sense of you have places like Germany and France taking on people, and they're going pretty much directly into their welfare system to one degree or another. You know, and the idea of, again, all these pregnant women in front, if we can get these pregnant women over the border, well then, and their babies are born there, well then their babies are citizens. But wait, but the parents aren't citizens, the mother's not, but they are the parent of a dependent child, which is pretty much, as far as benefits go, give you the same, if not more benefits. Not for nothing. And they don't look to see what whether, you know, that's not based upon citizenship of the guardian. It's based upon citizenship of the child. So, you know, we need for the, is it the 14th? 14th or the 13th? I always get confused. I think it might be the 14th. I think we need for the 14th Amendment to be interpreted differently. Obviously, it was created for a specific reason, that being allowing the offspring of Afro-Americans, blacks, as I like to call them, it ensured their citizenship and their right to be able to vote and participate in the great social experiment. And that's specifically what it was devised for, you know, by the Republicans. Democrats didn't have shit to do with that. We know that, right? Okay. The party of hate. I'll get into that in a moment. So we don't even, well, but Mr. Midwood, I like calling myself Mr. Midland, but Mr. Midwood How's we going to get the 14th Amendment struck? Well, we don't need it struck. All we need is for it to be interpreted differently. That's all, and that's up to the court, up to the courts as they go along, and certainly the High Court of this country to determine. Let me hit a jingle just because it's basically the bottom of the hour, and I should identify because if I'm going to do talk, I'm not going to really have an opportunity to do so very often. So let me do this.
Surfing the web. Whee! You'll love what we found.
11 L R and I.
Featuring
Okay then. So I legally identified for whatever that's worth. And now I shall continue. So yeah, we just need the 14th Amendment to be interpreted differently. So it's not anywhere near as difficult as having to have the 14th Amendment struck or rescinded or whatever the term is for that. And they don't even do that properly, not for nothing. Prohibition was never rescinded properly. I think they needed X amount of votes from X amount of states, and they never really got those votes. They just, it was more of a social movement. Again, the abstinence people, interestingly, also tied into the Democrats, who wound up becoming the Democrats. Fascinating. Keep telling you what you should do and how you should live. And if you don't, there'll be consequences. Interesting. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for people who come into this country illegally. You know, we let in, I think it's somewhere around 1 million people get to come to the United States, whether it be via green card or visa or citizenship, just outright citizenship. 1 million people, that's 1 million souls that we take from other places. And obviously, since the Immigration Act of 1965, it's less European people, obviously, of a Northern European descent or a Western, I guess I would mean Western European descent. It's less and less of them. And it's more people we don't need. It's obviously not merit-based and hasn't been merit-based since 1965, Ted Kennedy, you goddamn motherfucker. I swear to God, of all the things that Kennedy did, it's Immigration Act 1965 that, to me, reeks the worst and has done the most damage to our great republic. But we went in 1 million people. That's more than anybody else in this planet. 1 million people we went in every friggin' year. 1 million people. And that's legally, to one degree or another. So how is it fair to all those other people who are doing the right thing and getting in the right way? How is it fair to them? What kind of example does it set going forward? And it's just outright bullying. And that's basically, look at this, when you look, did you see this stuff on the bridge today? Did it not horrify you? I mean, I know it was in the media. I know my listeners, listeners' views are extremely sharp in areas of, hey, what the fuck is that? Did you see it? Did you see what was going on? It was outright bullying. It was outright force. We're just going to force our way into this country. And do you think that it would be any different at the border, if our border weren't more, wasn't betterly, there's a word. I always make up a word every show. Betterly secured, and when I say that, I mean guns, and the fact that they probably feel that we wouldn't gun them down, although I think we should gun them down, personally. It's bullying. So why would we expect that type of behavior to change if we just turned the other eye and we just gave these people some sort of amnesty because of the effort they put in to get here? Everybody's like, oh, look what they had to do to get here. And it's like, that's not our problem. That's between them and their God and their government. And again, I say, and I genuinely mean this, we're not helping them by allowing them in. We're not. The problem needs to be solved. It goes in cycles. It's kind of like Old Faithful. You know, pressure builds. What happens? Up, gone. So again, if anything, if they want help, they should ask for, they should ask the United States government for intervention. You don't think we could go into Guatemala, whatever it is, and we could just solve their drug problems in like 15 minutes? Seriously. Well, maybe it would take a little longer than that. I think witness Colombia, where it did take a while longer. But you don't think if you had intervention by the U.S. military, which has unfortunately been stretched extremely thin due to the fact that we've been at two pretty much useless wars for the last 20 years, but you don't think, even National Guard call up or, just precision strikes, a little shock and awe, you don't think that we could solve that problem? And then, look, you could stay there you could stay in your country that you love so much and whose flag you were waving as you were invading our country. But no, you know, the other side of the war, I guess the other side of the fence, which is really kind of interesting considering I'm talking about immigration, is obviously the Democrats as of late have made a big push towards open borders and the idea of just anybody being able to come in. You know, we have the idea of universal health care, and yes, I am a beneficiary of the American Affordable Care Act. I can see that at every moment, given the opportunity and when it comes up in context. And if it weren't for it, I don't know where my mental status would be. Quite frankly, I don't know where my health status would be. So I have benefited from it. I need to say that. Again, it's interesting how I generally try to preface things before I start yammering about them or something that has to do with them in this particular case. But yeah, there's a big push for the idea of open borders. Let's just let everybody in. And then on the other hand, there's also the big push from the Democrats for universal health care and the idea of allowing citizenship to become easy. Now, you know, traditionally, we've always kind of looked at things from the idea of, well, yeah, the Democrats just want more Democrats. You know, they look at every potential person coming over the border illegally or otherwise as a undocumented Democrat. Yeah. But we can't leave out, and this is historically true and not really talked about by conservatives because it's a black eye to conservatism. A vast amount of companies and corporations are controlled or owned or have, shareholders, board of, people who sit on boards who are conservatives, and they want cheap labor. They've always wanted cheap labor. Now, there have been inroads in that in regards to, I forget the name of the program, but there's been a program that have basically been guest workers, and that's kind of helped a bit. But back in the old days, the conservatives, they wanted cheap, controlled labor, and it would always be coming over the border. And this is not just fruit. You know, who's going to pick the fruit, you know, but who's going to pluck your chickens? You know, that's nasty business, plucking chickens. You know what I mean? Not for nothing. If we had to, like, actually prepare the vast amount of food that we eat, we'd eat berries. We'd all be living on friggin' berries because nobody wants to slaughter a cow. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to friggin' pluck a chicken. I mean, it's nasty. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my God. There'd be a lot of vegetarians walking around. Now, I am not a vegetarian. I went through a vegetarian phase when I was, like, in my mid to late teens, and it didn't last that long. Let's just put it that way. But no, you know, again, so the conservatives have always, you know, they've always been proponents of cheap labor and having people come over the border. So, you know, open borders would kind of benefit them as well too, but it certainly doesn't do anything for the middle class because as hard as plucking chickens are and as hard as slaughtering cows, or I guess it would be steers, that's why we don't have the mad cow problem here, the idea is that the middle class suffers. The middle class winds up suffering as a result of this. And I place the blame, as I just did, squarely on Democrats and certain conservative elements that would obviously want the cheap labor. Now, I've said many times, and I still think for the most part, that 75% of the Republican Party could be just line them up in the ditches and gun them down and bury them. And be done with them, and let's start from scratch. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, I have regular conservative friends that I communicate with on the regular. Just like I have some, like I said, some Democratic friends, and I don't share. I mean, there's some common ground, but when I'm basically calling for your extermination, I mean, there's only so much that we can have in common, you know. But I try to be polite, you know. Same thing with my anti-Semitism. I mean, I have some Jewish friends that I'm like, you know, some of them know my deal, some of them don't. I've had conversations with them. They find it somewhat interesting. Knowing me, they're not really offended by it, you know. Same thing with anything, because not for nothing, if I just walk into a situation, like a normal situation in the real world, and I just start talking, like, you know, if I was surrounded by, like, say, social justice warriors on any given particular day, and I just happen to espouse some of my views, they would probably beat me to death, you know, because now we're moving into the next phase of what I wanted to talk about tonight. I find it interesting how the idea of free speech only applies to speech that we agree with on the left. You have this obvious rising would be a word. You have the prominence. You have the groups like, and I guess it's not, I don't know how many other groups there are. I know Black Lives Matter has been known to get physical at times. There's a video of that. It's well documented. But Antifa, I haven't done that in a while. Maybe. Antifa, okay. I won't do it too much. You have Antifa, you know, obviously, and clearly stating, I mean, they go on media, they go on regular, let alone social media. They're absolutely crazy. I pretty much stopped following a lot of it. I'm at the point, particularly on Twitter, where I'm trying to clean up my Twitter account a little bit. So I'm basically, anybody who's already following someone that I follow, unless they're following me, I get rid of them. Because I can get that information from the person that I'm already following. I don't need it to be, you know, and it just cluds things up. You know, now I haven't grown very much, you know, it's because I'm not very likable, as, you know, it's has become apparent over the years. But no, I'm still following Antifa and their stuff by proxy, and it's not hard these days because CNN gives them lots of time, and you know, because they're the saviors, they're the anti-fascist people, they're the people who are going to save us from the fascists. Yeah? But how do you save someone from fascism when you're engaging in fascist behavior yourself? I fail to comprehend how this is being overlooked. You know. And just the mere idea of, you know, I can't tell you how many various interviews I've heard Antifa leadership, you know, saying that we're saving the democracy. Save the fucking democracy, man, where you're beating the shit out of people for thinking differently than you do. How is that saving the democracy? Does anybody raise your hand? Bueller? No, and no one? No, and that was Ben Stein that did that too, by the way, speaking of Jews. He's on my good Jew list. But, yeah. I just find it shocking, literally shocking, how the left has gotten to the point where they're condoning violence. You know, you just had, I mean, we know what's been going on with, say, people like Maxine Waters, and I use that word people extremely loosely. People like Maxine Waters have been calling for the outing, you know, and the harassment of people, of Trump supporters and people of that nature, people who are apparently not in agreement with them. That's been going on for quite some while. You know, that little orangutan-looking lady's been doing that for a while. Yeah. Oh, I just lost my sitcom. Well, I never had one, so we're in good shape, I guess. And you had Pelosi also, to one degree or another, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you know, another one of these people that I'll mention. talking about, you know, rising up and various other language that would indicate the resistance. I think that's the term I'm looking for, right? The resistance. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's that was there. Okay. And then I think most recently, Kankles, another one of those people, Hillary Clinton, I refer to her as Kankles. Most people know why. Didn't invent it, just like it. Talking about not being civil to the right, to conservatives and the right, until the left has regained power. You know, I guess sitting on top in some sort of majority, at least the political majority, that would be political power, obviously. Not being civil. So what exactly has been going on now that you've actually decided that you no longer need, you know, that people, other people shouldn't be civil? And the thing of it is you know, Antifa is largely a college movement. I mean, we certainly know where it originally originated in Germany. I did a whole show on Antifa, I believe. I don't remember when. I do stuff and I don't remember, but I know I did one, or at least in part. And the idea is that, I think, and this goes back, and this is something that I've feared and I talk about all the time. And I know because I've seen people go to college, you know, friends of mine go to college and come out with left-wing views. I mean, they went in, middle-row, because, you know, at that age, you really don't know nothing. You know, you got the beer bong, you know, you're getting the blowjob from the girlfriend, you're watching your fucking football game. That's it. That's pretty much your whole thing, you know? Like your parents at that point, because you're still kind of tweening. Your parents are probably paying for college. Not everyone, but your parents are probably paying for college. You're living in the basement, you know? They're still paying your car insurance. Maybe they're giving you gas money. I don't know. You got a job on the side, so you could actually, you know, whatever. So you're going in like, and you're coming out indoctrinated. And this indoctrination is starting now earlier and earlier. You know, it used to be like pretty much just college. But it's occurring in high schools across the country where the curriculum, because I would have to presume what happened is that the vast majority of these college professors, these are the ones that didn't want to go to Vietnam, you know, and have a history of being associated or being fans of, you know, the idea of students for a democratic society. And I think some of your older people, I know I did a show on SDS because I know I did a show on the Weatherman. So it was covered in there, I believe. Yeah. And, you know, now was everybody in the SDS, a Weatherman, meaning an honest to God person who was blowing up buildings? No, but they certainly shared socialist or communist views. And they certainly were willing to be militant about it if they needed to be. So you have, you know, those people are the people who are now teaching, and they have been for quite some time. They've been teaching college. They've been teaching in college. These are college professors who have now indoctrinated an entire generation. And that generation has gone out and gotten jobs as social workers, and they've become teachers themselves, perhaps in high schools and junior high schools. And they're taking this base philosophy, this baseline of looking at things with them. And some people would say, well, what's wrong with that? But in its hardest form, in its most concentrated form, it produces Antifa. And that's just the God-honest truth. So the idea ultimately becomes, if you don't... Now, it's not the idea. They literally, and this is what I feel, I don't feel bad about, but I mean, I've truly come to understand. The vast majority of these people, meaning these people on the left who are members of Antifa or associated in some way, shape, or form, even Black Lives Matter, entirely misled. These people are entirely misled. They should be, Black Lives Matter should be more concerned about the black community and how the black community polices itself, and the idea of maybe, you know, a child being raised in a home with two parents, you know, again, in a, you know, we have to look at Kennedy's vice president, Mr. Johnson. Fuck you, Mr. Johnson. We have to thank Johnson and his great fucking society for it to be, financially viable for there no longer to be a black man in the house raising a child with a black woman. Although I guess it's the black man's, always been in the black man's DNA to just float around and make as many black babies as they can. It's a chimp thing. I mean, I hardly consider the black people to be in the same species as Caucasians. I really honestly do. I've gotten to that point. But it's hard to make that 100% determination because, again, there are plenty of black people out there who are far more, you know, far smarter than I am and better citizens than I've ever been. So I can't throw it all out the window. But maybe there's a little Caucasian blood in there that kind of, you know, a little gene pool that kind of, I don't really know. But most black people are like fucking chimps. They live like chimps. It's crazy. You know, and between the violence and just let's make babies, let's just run around making babies, that somebody else is going to pay for, that they feel no moral responsibility to. You know, I started at one point in time, I believe it was long back in this program, talking about the idea of abortion and how, life begins at conception. The vast majority of abortions that are carried out in this country are for black women and lower class black women, not for nothing. So who have apparently reached whatever social services limit that they can get. So it's just not viable for them to have another child, so the child's murdered. I forget where I was going with this. I was talking about the left and Black Lives Matter, and yeah, Black Lives Matter should be more concerned with places like Chicago and all the other black on black crime that occurs in this nation on a regular basis. We know the statistics, and we know 13% of the population responsible for 50% of the violent crime in this country. And I'm sure there's a large percentile of that violent crime that they are committing is against other blacks. So it would be just like if we had never gone to Africa and we just allowed them to fight it out, only they're doing it in inner cities, which kind of sucks, you know? You know, it's like we're paying to see evolution and it's just not happening. I want my money back. I want my money back. But no. Yeah. So basically what's going on here is this resistance, you know, Antifa and whatnot. The idea is it's suppression of ideas, of free speech. Now it's not even what you have physically done, but it's more the idea of what you've said, the things that you have said that are a threat to our people, to members of our groupage. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, it even like the idea of like, I got the friggin', who were the fags? I can't remember the fag group, but the big fag group that wound up after, you know, in the mid to later 80s, wound up being really big on, I can't think of it, it bugs me that I can't. But I sat there in Randy's apartment and I listened to these people and I was like, you know what? And I was sympathetic. I've said this many times before. I was sympathetic to the cause. I was like, you know what? Silence is death. I get that. I fully understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. I understand it. And they disenfranchised me. They just literally, because they were so ridiculously aggressive, when if they had just taken the time to be reasonable with people, I think they would have made more headway in their cause. I wish I could remember the name of the group. Huge group. Huge bunch of facts. You know, with the triangles and the thing. I can't remember. Is there anybody I left out as far as being offended? Is there anybody? I don't think I hit the Jews too hard this one. But anyway, George Soros. Yeah, that's Midwood's way. You know, I'm just observing this and I'm just looking around and it's like, I don't know. I think, for the most part, it's going to be really hard for the Republicans not to make some gains. So we already control. I think so it'll be like a super duper thing, whatever the fuck they call that, because I'm just not that smart. Super majority, I think it is. There would have to be some serious shit going down. You'd have to start finding like Republicans in bed with like dead boys. You know, not even dead girls, but dead boys in order for shit to get weird. I you know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but when you look at what's coming out of the left's mouth, when you look at the things that they are talking about, it's insane. I mean, not only is it insane, but now they're literally backing up their insanity with violence and advocating violence. You know, I say again, if any of this had occurred during the Monkey Boy's presidency, you know, the 8 years, it would have been insane. I mean, again, I'm going to say one more time, you know, the Tea Party, but those were, they seemed to be, they were, as far as I know, they were nonviolent protests, except for, you know, John, what's his face, having his feelings hurt because someone yelled out nigger, and that's never been, you knew I had to get it in, right? And that's still never been proven, not for nothing. I'm going to say one more time, I think there was even a reward. All the media, everybody got the cell phones, and you can't go anywhere without there being a panoramic view of media where people are like, oh, everybody knows what happened because there were so many people there and it was recorded. And even the police, when they go to reconstruct crimes, they ask people, or very nicely, I guess they confiscate cell phones and various other things, you know, and they can put together what happened. So not for nothing, you know, it used to be, oh, the satellites are watching us. No, now it's we're watching us. Everyone is basically watching everyone else, because when something happens of any sort of anything, they got the cameras going, you know. I think Rodney King was evident of that, and that was a big ass, you know, friggin' camcorder, I believe. Can we all just get along here now? He's a good nigga now. He's in the ground. So, yeah. I mean, it's insane. Now, the left, you know, people like myself, yeah, okay, fine. But most people aren't like me. Most people aren't little balls of hate. You know, I don't think the vast majority of my listenership are little balls of hate. I don't think the vast majority of the people who are of, you know, far right or even alt right, a little balls of hate. You know, I that's why, again, I look at the alt right movement as just being a bunch of loosely affiliated people to one degree or another. But yeah, I'm a little ball of hate. I am, you know. I'll admit that. That's who I am, you know, and I'm not the norm. I'm not running around. I'm not running the country. I'm not for nothing. I'm hardly even bothering anybody. Still, I get poked with sticks once in a while, but that's what guns are for, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just observing what I'm seeing. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, if Antifa were upset with people, it would be like people like me. Great. Do you know what I mean? You know, I get that. But they're just beating the crap out of people. I think, what did I read that they had actually attacked? And that's the thing, they're unapologetic for it after the fact. I think in one of these rally thingies, I think they had wind up attacking one of the 9/11, the wife of someone who had died. I don't want to say 9/11 wives because that's a different thing. I think most people know what I mean when I make that reference. But one of them, yeah, they got attacked. They were hit, you know, and there's plenty of old people. You know, there are plenty of people who are just citizens just minding their business, walking down the street, who have been attacked because they were wearing a MAGA hat. I have to get a red MAGA hat. I wonder, they're like $30. I don't know if I got $30 to spend on one of those things right now. I got like higher priorities than one of those, but it's on my list. It's ridiculous. It's uncalled for. It's undemocratic. It's not what this country was founded on. I think of Dennis Miller, and I know I've referenced this before, where I say, you know, these were the old shows on HBO. He's like, in a healthy republic, in a healthy democracy, we know where the people are who are fascist. We know where the people are who are you know, calling for other people, for harm, and you know, the nut, what he referred to as at the nutballs, which I guess would be me. We know where these people are. You know, we know where the Nazis are. We know where they are. Why? Because we're allowing them to speak. Because we're giving them their free speech. And we're protecting their right for free speech, just like everybody else has a right to free speech. And we know where they are. And that's healthy. It's when we've driven them underground that we don't know where they are. And then we should start becoming concerned. You know. That's just my two cents. I'm just, you know, whatever. I'm going to thank you for imbibing in however you did. I guess whether audio or video. Video will be up. This is the first video show, actually, to be up on the sites. Everything else will be audio. And you know what? Not for nothing. I've always said that this was an audio program with a video component. So while I'm sad to have lost, I can't believe I lost all my video. And the only ironic thing is this is the thing. Some of you will appreciate this. It was on a RAD. It was on a RAD 1. So it was back, you know what I mean? If something mechanically had happened to either of those drives, I still would have had my stuff, man. It would have been fine. But what happened was it was literally user error. I literally was just a little bonked out or whatever the story may be. And I went in, and all it takes is the click. One little click on one little folder, and that's it. And something is wiped the fuck out. And that's exactly what happened to my video archive. But my audio archives are still up there for you all to enjoy, if that's what you do with them. Thank you again. Like I said, please head over to the Midwood Files over at lfmidwood.com. It's lfmidwood.com. And I'll be back next week. I'll be back here every week that I can manage to get back here. I've been going up and down and all around. And I think just talking about other stuff is really good for my head, not for nothing, because that's, you know, there's work to be done, very many issues that I wish to get back into to cover on a regular basis, and it kind of keeps me from thinking about my own shit. So that's about it. So I'm going to hit a close song, and I'll be back next week. So, bye, y'all.
Sound of my You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.